This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative.
Hi, friends. This is Tim McKenna, and this is another episode of Signal 337. This will be the coronavirus special, because currently it is April 28th, 2020. I had previously recorded a couple other episodes prior to this one, but they didn't seem to really kind of fit for the time that we're living in at this point in time. I think that the pandemic has really been so eloquently of a way to put this. It's really fucked with a lot of things for all of us, regardless of what country you live in, what background, whatever. The pandemic has definitely fucked with everything. And I wanted to take this episode to really kind of talk about the life we have right now, the things that we're all kind of going through, share a little bit about what I've been going through in my own career, living and working as a design professional in a small rural town, some of the things that I've been seeing the internet come together and also tear us apart, and maybe get some questions around where do we see the future of leadership? Where do we see the future of the design industry? Everything. We'll see where things are going and have kind of a conversation. So strap in. I have got a very large beer in front of me, so who knows how this episode will actually go. But let's have a conversation and start off. So, coronavirus. Goddamn, we can't escape this at all for anything. I know the internet tries, and I know that there is so much news that, especially if you live in the United States, that is just swirling around this topic. Thank God for John Krasinski's Some Good News Network YouTube channel for the little bit of rays of sunshine and hope that is not, you know, laden with coronavirus news all the time. So thank God for that. But it just seems that our entire lives have been put on hold, disrupted by this global pandemic. And there's no escaping it, regardless of whatever career you're in. Now, for myself, I'm incredibly fucking lucky. Yeah, I'm going to swear a lot in this episode. So I'm incredibly lucky with my career. The company that I work for is considered an essential company. We can all work remotely during this time because we help to maintain government services. So as a contractor, that's how we're able to work. But also we were able to work remotely regardless. So this just shifted our business to being a remote company for the, you know, foreseeable future. So I'm very lucky, very fortunate to have the ability to continue to work during this pandemic, while the focus of my company and many other companies right now are kind of more in this kind of maintenance. Let's make sure we keep all of our stuff up and running. There's not a lot in regards to, you know, user research and testing going on right at the moment, especially for me. But I've been hearing from colleagues in other companies like industries saying, like, yeah, we're just mainly focusing on keeping our stuff running and everything up to date. So it's interesting that, you know, service companies like mine, my good friend Pete, and some other ones, that this is what they're focusing on. And that's predicated off of their clients. Their clients are focusing on certain things, so we pivot to meet the needs of our clients. And I'm incredibly lucky to be working. My wife is incredibly lucky to be working as well. She works as a contractor also for the state of Pennsylvania and is also deemed necessary, which was kind of scary because there was a lot of state workers in Pennsylvania furloughed for a good bit. So in really, we're both very lucky. This is very advantageous, and I hate to use the term blessed because I'm not a religious person, but truly, I think this fits for us, is that truly we are kind of blessed. Now, we're both working remotely. We don't work together in the same room. I can't stand working with my wife in the same room. We both have lots of Zoom meetings and conversations. I like to talk to myself. Maybe that's a sign of dementia. I like to talk to myself as I'm working through things, and my wife can't really deal with that. So we work on two different floors of our house. Now, the challenge comes in with this is that we have an 18-month-old, and daycares have been closed for the last 6 weeks, and trying to work with kids is difficult, to say the least. Now, again, I'm lucky. I have a single kid, and he's pretty easygoing for a toddler. But some people I work with have multiple kids, and they're in school, and they have to be also managing their kids' schoolwork as well as working, and that is just really fucking difficult to do. A number of my colleagues at my company are juggling, homeschooling along with working remotely and being able to do all these other things, that they normally would have had some sort of separation for. And it's really difficult right now for all of us to keep it up and running. So that's difficult. And my office has now turned into a playpen, but that was to be expected. I'm really concerned about my parents' health. And my mom is immunocompromised and had bacterial meningitis a few years ago, so she cannot leave the house at all. And being an old, stubborn Irish woman, that becomes really difficult to be able to remediate. So, at the end of the day, this is really messed with my family and really messed with how we do things. I've got to be really concerned about my parents. I know that my wife is really concerned about her parents as they live in population-dense New Jersey. And also keeping our son, somewhat entertained and somewhat being learning things throughout the day. But by the end of the day, we're just so wiped out that, we have very little time for each other and anything else. But this is not about, the woe is me, issue here. I've got friends and I've got people that I've known from other industries and stuff that I'm really concerned about. Case in point, there's a girl that I would see constantly at Café Bruges here in Carlisle. It's a Belgian restaurant, lots of Belgian beers. I like going there because, hey, I like beer. Also, their food's fantastic, and it's a real cool cultural gem in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And this girl, who her name's escaping me because I'd see her every once in a while, and I just remember the one time around Christmas, she had a Star Wars ugly sweater on, and we just got talking about Star Wars, and we kind of got to know each other a little bit, and she and her boyfriend moved from Wisconsin to Central PA, where he is going to Dickinson College, and he's getting his master's. And she is a children's psychology social worker, and she does that during the day. She works part-time at Café Bruges, and here's two kids basically right out of school, one still in school. They're both early in 20s. And they've moved to a completely different state, no friends, no nothing, no support network out here, and they're trying to make it all work for them. And she came out, moved out with him to support him while he's going through his master's program, and they're just trying to do their best. And I have no idea what that looks like for them right now. Does she still have a job at both places? Is he still able to do his schoolwork? How was Dickinson able to be able to change and shift over during this whole crisis? I have no idea. And that kind of keeps me up at night, is that there are a lot of people that are in situations that they can't change. It's the situations, these circumstances have really fucked them over. And that is disheartening. That's sad. And I don't know what to do. I wish I remembered her name, and I wish I could be a better customer when I would come in there. I mean, I think about her situation and I wonder how she and her boyfriend are doing. And then I think about some of the other people that I have met at some of the local bars and restaurants here in Carlisle, and with everything being under quarantine in Pennsylvania and our stay-at-home order, I mean, a lot of these restaurants aren't doing curbside takeout. They're not set up to do it. Some are trying to, and it's just getting them by the smallest thread, and it's difficult. And that's just the bars and stuff. What about the art galleries and some of the cultural centers, like the Central Pennsylvania Youth Ballet? What's going on? And it's really difficult. And I'm sure you, dear listener, who are listening to this, are thinking about how this has affected you. I mean, there's the whole gamut of emotions you could be feeling, from lucky to fucking pissed off to concerned to overwhelmed and everything else in between, and other emotions I didn't even bring up. And it's difficult. It's really difficult. And with an uncertain future ahead of us, it makes it even more nerve-wracking and anxiety-inducing, because we don't know where the future is going to go. So how this all kind of comes back to you, dear listener, who is interested in the topics that I talk about, from design, leadership, business. I tell you what, this is difficult. I don't know really how to answer a lot of questions. I kind of fall back on my core beliefs of the best thing that I can do as a manager, as a leader, is to make sure that my people are feeling supported, that they are have someone to talk to and someone who's going to listen, and make sure that I give them the resources that I can provide so that they can do their jobs well and stay the hell out of their way. I'll be honest, it's been really tough, because 2 weeks before the coronavirus became a national subject and it became apparent that Pennsylvania was going into a shelter-in-place order, like as many other states have, to kind of add insult to injury, 2 weeks prior to all that, I was recovering from walking pneumonia and norovirus. So I was sick for 2 weeks before this, and about time I'm ready to go back into work, all this shit happens. So I already feel like I've been out of the loop a good bit, and it's been difficult to be able to do. But to go back to my point about leadership, as I was about ready to come back to work and all this stuff started happening and my company moved to a remote policy and we're all now working from home at this point, I faced a lot of questions from my leaders and from my teammates. So my own leadership was asking, how do we do certain things? How do we keep certain things moving? And it was, you know, it's difficult to kind of answer certain things, but it was important to be flexible and also to think a little bit outside of the box. How do we handle the meetings that we were going to do that required an in-person interaction? A good example was a creative matrix that we were doing with one of our partners. How do we do that digitally? And thank God for Mural, big fan of their products and services. But how do we do these things and keep the meetings, keep the progress, keep the momentum of our work going when you now have to meet everything digitally? Now, for a lot of companies, this is not an issue for them because they were set up to be remote first. They were set up to be a 100% distributed company, and it's been interesting to see a lot of the articles and how companies are kind of dealing with this shift. I think it's a little premature from all the articles that I've been seeing in LinkedIn that this is the new way, and this is the shot in the arm that remote work needed to happen. I don't think that there's going to be that much of a shift afterwards. I think eventually some companies and organizations will see the value, the benefit of being able to work remotely and opening up their talent pool from just their local regional area to global. And I believe that that will be seen and heard and be eventually implemented, but not every one of them. This is not going to be, once we are at this point with COVID-19, that we have a vaccine and life can go back to a quote-unquote normal that we've had previously, I don't think it's going to be a massive shift over to being a remote first, type of workforce. And a lot of companies still can't. Though I do foresee and predict that a lot of companies will look more heavily into automation. My prediction for this area in particular, if you live in central Pennsylvania, is that I do believe Sheetz will be the first one to look into how to employ a type of automation so that there needs to be less employees in the store or more focused employees in the store. So that's my prediction that's going to come out of this. But being a traditionally on-site organization to being a remote company then, or at least having this remote policy for a lot of companies, is the infrastructure that you have may or may not be conducive to working remotely. I know that that's been a challenge at our company. It's been a challenge from a technology perspective. It's been a challenge from a communications perspective. It's been a challenge of organizing everyone in the in how we actually do things. So it's been a challenge. And if you find solidarity in many others' experiences as well, that's something that across the board a lot of organizations are struggling with, is how we make this work remotely. And it's been very interesting, and it's been very helpful that companies like, I know, Automatic, Zapier, and a number of other ones have been putting out a lot of great material for running a remote business, running a remote team. I know that Envision put out some really good information about how to run remote teams, and individuals themselves like Stephen Gates and a number of other folks that I follow on Twitter that have been doing this for a long time. Dan Brown at 8Shapes, he's been sharing information on like how to manage a team, how to run a company, how to do these tasks that you were used to doing in person, how to do them digitally now. And thank God for them, because I know that a lot of people have been taking and consuming their materials, and it's really helping them to be able to manage everything from a manager leader's perspective, and also from a practitioner or individual contributor's perspective. So I know for myself, being able to read those documents and being able to understand how to lead more in a remote sense and still have that interaction, still have that amount of, you know, understanding and, you know, that people can come to me at any point in time and talk with me was really helpful. But part of the challenges, like I said, from my own management, my own leadership asking me how to do things, and then my own team asking me how to do things, the number one thing that I have found that makes it easier is a commitment to communication. And I think that's really the crux of any issue, is how well you can communicate. We use a number of tools, Slack, email, Zoom, you know, whatever. But it's still important, regardless of the tools, you need to be able to communicate, to understand. You need to be able to communicate in a way that empathizes with, you know, the person that you're communicating with. If you can understand where they're coming from and being able to guide them in direction that they may need, explain something that is a little confusing to them, or also herald and get everyone towards a goal that we all want to achieve, it's really important that you take the approach that communication is key, and you communicate to be understood, and you communicate for them to understand. So it's really important, communication. Can't stress it enough. Also, I might be in a minority here, but I tend to lean on over-documenting or over, I wouldn't say oversharing, but I would kind of lean on the fact that if something seems muddy or confusing to me, I'm going to give as much information as I possibly can, when and where and how it's appropriate, so that I can facilitate that understanding. Case in point, a process that used to be the way you did things prior to this pandemic, but because of circumstances, you have to amend that process. Maybe it is pushing code. Maybe it is how you do reviews with people. Maybe it's how you check in your work and do meetings. These things need to be communicated in a way like how you're going to do them. So for myself, I tend to lean on sharing more information and giving it in a way so that people can ask questions and really look at it. And that way, there's not an ambiguity that's been created or assumptions being made. Now, the downside to that is then people read it. And let's face it, a lot of people don't like to read a lot of information. That's where I feel like it kind of becomes a bit of a hectic mess to do, because I know for myself, I can write a goddamn text wall of information. And it's helpful information, and maybe I haven't set it up in a way that's a little bit more consumable, but, you know, your first outset looking at that, you're like, oh, I'm not going to read that. That's way too much. But it's a blend of documentation, communicating, make sure that people are all on board and understand and have clear expectations of what the goals are and what you're trying to do. So I think that that is definitely one of the things that is the crux of how to work remotely is how do you do communication? How do you communicate in a way that progresses things? And the other thing too is timeliness. Now, I don't know about you, but things have been kind of hectic with my company, and we've been working kind of nonstop, making sure services are up and running. And that's very particular and niche to the work that I do now. So a bunch of us basically are running around trying to keep all the plates spinning all the time. And timeliness really matters because there's some things that you have a timeline, you have a deadline for. Things need to hit a certain time. But also, there's things that are not so, like, you know, hair on fire type of a thing. Things that are a little bit don't need to have an answer instantly. However, it's still important to get back to those things. It's still important to follow up and take the time to read through, you know, the communications, the emails, the Slack messages, whatever. It's important to follow up because that timeliness, or even acknowledging, hey, this is going to be a little bit later, I'm going to get to this when I have some chance to really spend some time and look at it, that is important because that's communicating back to your colleagues that you are important, you are heard, you are seen, and there will be an answer eventually, maybe just not in the time frame that you're hoping for. And I think that that will actually alleviate a lot of fears for people, is that if you feel like you're being ghosted, then that creates all sorts of worry and, you know, curiosity and assumptions of, like, well, what's going on? And when that starts to become apparent, it starts to come out in your own communication as well. So it's important to really ensure that the timeliness of your communication is also addressed as well. So, yeah, I don't know. This is the most kind of off-the-cuff episode that I've been doing so far. And I really don't have an agenda for this because it's a little bit more ad hoc and a little bit more free-floating. But it's been interesting to follow up with the news and, you know, see where we're at as a country and as a state and my local area that we're at. I think it's important to say a couple things on the spirit of people and how they're dealing with this. Look, I understand shit did not go the way that we expected it. You know, staying at home orders or quarantine orders and, you know, public health procedures and policies, they are a little bit draconian. They are something that is outside, completely outside of our normal expectations. And that threw the biggest monkey wrench into society as we've had in a long, long damn time. Probably for a lot of people, the last time that this was something, not from a public health standpoint, but like giant monkey wrench was the Great Recession in 2007, 2008. That threw a big monkey wrench in a lot of people's dreams and careers and whatnot. So I'd say that that was probably the closest thing that we've had in the last 10 years of major disruption to our lifestyles. But this, you could argue, is a completely different disruption and even more insidious than the Great Recession. So it's important to understand that while these measures and these policies and these basically, hey, don't go out and do shit, it sucks. It totally sucks. But taking it from a leader's perspective and looking at the holistic picture and looking at the long view, it's hard for everyone to see that when they're in the shit at the moment, when they are in it and dealing with it more on a ad hoc, like just dealing with the next issue basis. So it's really difficult for leaders in this position to make these long-term plans and more sweeping policies about how we handle everything. It's difficult. And I keep trying to remind myself that I need to look at the bigger picture. I want to be able to go out to the store and not have to wear a mask. I want to be able to, at a moment's notice, run down the street and go to my favorite local brewery and get a growler. I'd like to be able to go out with my friends again and be able to, I wouldn't say get my hair cut because I'm fucking bald. I don't have any hair. But I'd like to be able to go out with my friends and do things, you know, go play basketball and these different things. So, yeah, as much my own social, like, interactions with people have been interrupted, I also think about my son, and I'm like, you know what? I'm cool staying here. Now, this is not about politics whatsoever. I'm not delving into that at all. But I do applaud a lot of our public health officials looking at this seriously and trying to figure out the best way to be able to handle stuff. And I want to look at them as an example of leadership. They are being faced with mounting opposition on a lot of fronts, and they are also trying to scramble to get data and information together. I mean, look at a position that nobody wants to have. I look at, in Pennsylvania, our Secretary of Health, Dr. Rachel Levine, who has been day in, day out with the Pennsylvania live stream, giving us daily reminders of wash your hands for 20 seconds, as long as it takes to sing happy birthday twice, covering your mouth with a mask, because my mask protects you and your mask protects me, and coughing into your elbows. Don't go outside unless you absolutely need to. And also resources for mental health support if you're dealing with issues and need to talk to somebody. She brings these up daily, and then she faces a barrage of questions from the media. Some questions are definitely valid. Some are not really meant for her, and others are just, you know, whatever. But talk about a position of leadership that I definitely don't want. And how do you keep your sanity all throughout this? I mean, I know that, you know, Pennsylvania Governor Wolf and Dr. Levine are working very hardly, tirelessly with other partners and other state agencies to ensure that the slow reopening of our state is something that is manageable. But can you imagine if you put yourself in your public health director's shoes, whether it's in the United States, in your states, or the federal government, or if another country, you know, your director of health, public health for everything. I mean, think about the position that they're in. How do we address a nation, a population of people with varying needs that they don't know? They don't know what all the needs are. How do we address a population with some sweeping, overarching, these are the policies, you have to follow them, or, you know, they're not going to, you know, help us with flattening the curve or these things? I wouldn't want to be that person, because a lot of people might be the first thing that someone like that says that to me is like, well, fuck you. I mean, think about when you're being told you can't do something and there's no real good reason why, you don't want to listen to it. Now, here's an invisible reason. You don't know if you're sick, if you have this, who are other people. It's not blatant. If we were all walking around with the mutant disease from the X-Men's cartoon in the 90s, where you had like puzzle pieces showing up all over your face, yeah, that's definitely more in your face. You'd see it and you're like, hell yeah, I'm staying home. But this is an invisible type of unknown here. We're dealing with this type of disease that masks itself in so many different ways. Could be pneumonia, could be flu, has these different symptoms that make people question, do I have this? Do I not have this? This creates panic. This creates anxiety. And if you put your trust in a public health figure that is dealing with all this. Now, opposite of this, they're also dealing with economic advisors, businesses, other organizations, people that are don't see it the same way. Not to say that their opinions are any less valid, but they have a different opinion, and they're not in that position to make that policy. So this person has to create policies and procedures and be able to talk to the public and try to guide them through this very difficult time with opposition all around them, while at the same time keeping their cool and their composure of being able to do the work that's necessary for them to make sure that they're doing the right thing. Oh, and by the way, data and the people that you're working with to get that information may or may not be up to snuff because they haven't had to deal with this before. You're not set up with anything. So think about this position of leadership with data and information that is not 100% correct. You're having to work with it, and then you're facing all sorts of opposition. And your main goal is to try to keep as many people safe and as healthy and as alive as humanly possible. That is a story of leadership that takes a certain type of personality, a certain type of strong sense of self to be able to see through all of that. Now, I talk about, you know, Dr. Levine in Pennsylvania because, well, she's Secretary of Health in Pennsylvania. I see her every single day on this live cast. And I think she's doing a terrific job. Do I agree with everything? No. You know, there's parts of me that's just like, God damn it, can we open the daycares back up because my kid's driving me insane? Can we have the elective surgeries come back up? I had a surgery scheduled about 2 months ago, and guess what? It got deep sixed because of all this. Rightfully so, but hey, I need to get my own stuff back. So I look at it and I'm thinking, all right, that's my own selfish perspective for things. And Dr. Levine's trying to do the best that she can along with all the other leaders in the state. So looking at this from the perspective of leadership, that's a position that is so tough and weighs on you of making sure that, are you doing the right thing? I mean, I can only imagine the amount of self-analysis and imposter syndrome and the things like that that creep into someone that, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing all that I can? Am I being too strict? Am I being too lenient? These questions that would eat at anybody in that position. And then to see these individuals day in and day out come to the podium and talk about things. And some do it better than others. Some do buckle. Some do change their tune, and others stay the course. They have a vision for how they want to see this, you know, see this go through. And sometimes you're going to bring people along, kicking and screaming. And other times you're going to have other people that, yeah, sure, tell me what I need to do. But it's not an enviable position of leadership. It is not a position that I think any leader actually wants to be in facing this type of a crisis. Now, I went on a big tirade all about, you know, the public health directors and all the people that are helping to make the decisions about how we move forward. But you think about the people that don't really have much of a decision that are here working day in and day out, the essential workers, you know, healthcare workers, first responders, you know, people who are working in the grocery stores, doing the best that they can. I'm sure some of them are like, I don't want to be fucking doing this. This is the last thing I want to be doing. You got healthcare workers that are testing positive and they have to be at work. It's tough. So I think that all in all, at least in my perspective, because my view of these folks and these industries in healthcare and first response, I always held them in very high regard. But now I think I even view them in a more higher regard. And I truly view them as heroes. And I look at them as examples of leadership and how they have stuck through it. Some haven't. Some have sadly, been lost to us because of this. But how a lot of people are trying to do the best thing so that we can get to that goal. Now you can take all this out, abstract it out, and think about how do I internalize this? How do I take the big tirade that you just said, Tim, and turn it into myself if I'm a leader, if I'm trying to help my people, is that, you know, grace under pressure is super hard to do. But that grace that you have under that type of pressure does engender and ingratiate others to have that same grace as well, being able to keep their cool. That's one of the reasons why I like Dr. Levine, is that it seems like nothing shakes her. You know, she doesn't ever seem frazzled whenever she does her live cast every day. So that kind of grace under pressure Definitely. Do you need to have all the answers? Hell no. No one's going to have all the answers. You know, whatever your case may be, whatever your leadership issue may be, you don't have to have all the answers. But surround yourself with people smarter than you that can help you get those answers. That's why I look at my team and I lean on them so much, because they are domain experts in their fields and their disciplines. And I'm a little bit dangerous in everything, but I'm like the jack of all trades. I'm pretty good at a little bit of everything, but I'm not production level in a lot of things. So it's important to surround yourself with good people. It's important to surround yourself with them and nurture them, especially throughout this time right now, where there is so many other distractions and so many other valid concerns and worries. Find a way to nurture them throughout this time. You know, just Slack messages, just saying, hey man, how you doing? You know, how's things going? Is there anything I can do to help? Check out this cool cat GIF I saw on Imgur. Anything like that to just let them know that you're there, you're present, and that you're there to help them will definitely go a long way. And also, having a vision to see it through, it's important to crowdsource, get enough of a democratic consensus for things, but have a vision of how you're going to get through this and see how you're going to come out on the other side. Whether it is coming through COVID-19, or whether it is coming up through a big project, shipping your first product, launching a new service, have a vision of how you're going to get there and how you're going to celebrate and also continue on after it. So these are all leadership qualities that I think are being exemplified right now during this current crisis. And I think that a lot of leaders in other companies that are trying to help their teams manage and deal with everything that are being faced with right now. So, like I said, Automattic and Zapier and Envision, those companies that have been doing this for a while, have worked in this space, worked in a remote style. You know, I applaud them for sharing resources of how to do this so that other companies can be successful. That is an example of the internet and the world coming together. Hey, you're all dealing with some stuff. Let me help you with such and such. And, you know, with as much as going on in the world and this divisiveness, it's really tough to not fall into it, because there's some valid concerns around how people's lives have been disrupted. And, you know, you want to be able to focus and make sure that the people closest to you are taken care of, whether it's your family, close friends, or whatever have you. But it's also, it takes a leader to really think about the holistic view and see how everyone can get through this. And that's tough. That's incredibly tough to do. So, I have ranted for a long time. I took my glasses off, actually, so I don't even see the timestamp. Oh, wow, normally. Oh, okay. So, I don't even really see the timestamp, what's going on in Audacity, looking at everything, but I think I'm close to the typical length of my episodes. So this was a bit of a rant, a little bit of a rave. This is a bit of a timestamped special issue, because this is where we're at right now. I know in Pennsylvania, we are moving towards a May 8th date of looking at possibly reopening a lot of things. And, you know, I applaud all the Pennsylvania state leaders who are helping to make this whole issue, you know, this whole pandemic, this whole thing in Pennsylvania easier for us. So I look to you and think about what you're doing to help your teams. And I understand that you're probably going through a lot of issues. And it's really important that you understand that you're not going through this alone, and that you can always reach out to some really great people to be able to help you throughout this. You can always reach out to me, and you can hit me up on Twitter. So as we move closer and closer towards figuring out what the new normal and the new life will be after this, I think that it's important for all of us, regardless of what industry that we work in, that we all take this experience and come away with how can we be a little bit more kinder towards each other, how we can help each other out some more, and just grow a little more empathy for everything. So with that, dear listener, I hope that you're staying safe, staying sane, and staying healthy throughout this entire thing. And hopefully, once we ever get over the hump that is this pandemic, we can go back to looking at dumb shit on the internet together and having other conversations. And but maybe we'll do it in a kinder way. So with that, thank you so much. I appreciate always your attentive listening, and anything that I have to say is always appreciated. Just like any other time, everything I say is my own. It's just my own rants and raves. It's not indicative of who I work with, or I don't plug other companies in this regard. So it's all my own things. Nothing is back on my own company. And until then, stay safe, stay sane, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you later.